Do you know the most popular passages of Scripture that are preached on? Now, I've been at this for a few years, and I have record, as I shared before, I have record of all the messages that I've ever preached in a kind of like a spreadsheet, but old school spreadsheet. It's called the three-ring binder, where you fill it in, you know. So it's I have record of all those messages that I have preached, and as I typed in Google, what is the most popular passages of Scripture preached on? And it came up, just the very first thing came up with this list of verses. And as I filtered back through my sermons, I have preached on these multiple times. I have John 3:16, of course we know that, talks about the love of God and His sending His Son that we can come and have this relationship with God. And Matthew 28:18-20 is the Great Commission, right? And go and make disciples, or as you go, make disciples. Ephesians 2:8 is, by grace you have been saved. This is not of your works. So no one can boast. This is God gave you this through His grace. Acts 1:8. And the power will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. John 1:1. And this is, the Word became, made His dwelling among us. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was nothing made that wasn't made through the Word. It's talking about Jesus. John 14:6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated His love in like this. While you were still sinners, Christ died for you. Galatians 5:22-23 is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit's going to do inside and through you as He gets control of your life. Philippians 2:8, your attitude should be that of Christ. It's the same attitude, who did not consider himself equal with God, but he walked out God's will on this earth, and your attitude should be that same way. Romans 12:1 is, in view of God's mercy, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. This is your reasonable act of worship. It's holy and pleasing to the Lord. That's the fact. That I would love to preach on any one of those verses. I mean, I could just slip into any one of those, and it's just powerful, the powerful words of God. And then I found myself not in one of those passages of Scripture this past week and a half or 2 weeks. It had been a couple weeks. I found myself in a passage from Obadiah. Now, who preaches from Obadiah? Obadiah is one chapter, 21 verses, and 590 words, just so you know. That's this paper, the pitch. That's the whole book of Obadiah. It's in 12 font. It's like you can read. I didn't put this in like 6 font to fit it on this paper. That's the whole book of Obadiah. And God has me in Obadiah, and I'm running around in Obadiah. At times, I'm very slowly navigating through Obadiah. There's a lot in those 21 verses. And so I wondered, in 22 years, I'm starting my 22nd year and being in the pastor, I looked back through all my things and said, how many times have I preached from the book of Obadiah? You know how many times that is? Zero. I have never preached from the book of Obadiah. It's one of the 66 books in the Bible. It's right. It contains 21 verses of the 31,102 verses that are in the Bible. God put it in the Bible for a purpose. And so I Googled, as I often do, and so do you, how to fix your car radiator or anything else, right? And so I Googled this. I Googled, what is the least preached on passages of Scripture? You know what it is? Obadiah. Obadiah is the least preached on passage of Scripture. And God had me in Obadiah. And I didn't know at first, I didn't know if God had me in Obadiah just for my own personal edification and my own personal growing in the Spirit and listening to God and seeking God and wanting God to move in my life. Or I didn't know if He had me there for that reason, or He had me there because of a message. Just so you know, I find out that both of those reasons happen simultaneously. Because if it's not for me, it's not for you. Just end of discussion. If God is not going to do it in my life, why would I think He would do it in your life? If I wasn't trusting God to do it, then why would I want you to trust God to do it? If I hadn't experienced God, then why would I want you to do it? I don't want to be one man on this platform and one man in my house. I don't want to be that guy. So I found out that Obadiah was for me, but guess what? It is for you too. So we're going to dive into the least preached on passage of Scripture. I had no sermon, just so you know, this is not an old sermon that I could pull out, which I don't do. I have about 5 of those sermons that I've ever done that with and reworked those sermons out of about 1,200 sermons that I preached. But just so you know, this is not yesterday's news, because I have no yesterday's news on Obadiah. It's all brand new from this week. God is doing in my heart what God is doing in us, I believe. So if you'll just listen to my own thoughts, I'll try to speak them out loud so that you can engage with where I have been in the last week and a half or so. Obadiah, why not Obadiah? That's the question. Why not? Because it's written to Edom. You know who Edom is? Edom is the descendants of Esau. You know who Esau is? He's the twin brother of Jacob. You know who Jacob and Esau's father is? Isaac. So we know that there's a family dynamic that wasn't really, I don't think Esau and Jacob were on each other's Christmas list. After a while, because there was this turmoil between those two the men. So Edom is written to Edom. It's a minor prophet, which is the least read portion of the Bible anyway. It is a bit messy. And really, God gets riled. And you don't see many things on shirts that call Obadiah, because there's not many of those passages of Scripture that we want to wear externally, but we have to absorb those internally, because God included it, and God wants us to know what He is doing in Obadiah. God gets riled in Obadiah. That's the way I would say the subtitle is, God Gets Riled in Obadiah. And this is what he says in verse 1. This is the sovereign Lord. Just so you know, when God says, this is what the sovereign Lord says, that's the time to sit up and take notice. I'm the self-existent, all-knowing God. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Listen when I speak to you. And I know that God is perfect in love and perfect in holiness, but he's perfect in justice too. And he demands our attention. And when he says, the sovereign Lord says, when the sovereign Lord shows up in your life, you better put down your phone. There is no level of Candy Crush that can supersede what the sovereign Lord wants to say to you.
Come on now.
The sovereign Lord shows up in his life. And he says, this is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom. Edom, the descendants of Esau. These 590 words, I found myself at the end of this and in the middle and then back over. And when you only have 21 verses, you can say, I read one book of the Bible 15 times this week. That's easy to do with Obadiah, a little harder to do with Isaiah, just so you know. But as I navigated through those 590 words over and over and over this week, it appeared to me that Edom had been quite successful in life. They had been given the ability to be quite successful in life. And what they did and what they had, they advanced. I think there was technological advances. I think there was all kinds of advancement that Edom had made. I think they were very gifted people. I think they were very empowered people. I think they made a they knew what to do in the situation that they were in. Their success had caused them to be prideful, not impactful. That was the problem that God had. Their success had caused them to be prideful and not impactful. And if I have to give this sermon a message, be impactful, not prideful. Because God's doing something in our life that He expects us to make impact with, not to build our pride. And Edom had a situation where they had been gifted and they had been empowered to do certain things in their world. And it made them men and women of pride and not men and women of impact. And God got riled over that. God says, I did not give you all that ability so you can be prideful about that. And you can take advantage of those people around you. I give you those abilities so that you can be impactful in the environment I put you in. And the sovereign Lord showed up in their life, and he called them into an account. And as I read through that Obadiah, I found myself, Lord, help me not be Edom. I don't want to be Edom during Obadiah because the principal, the dad, has showed up, the sovereign Lord. I don't want to be Edom even down the road 10 miles before they got there. I don't want to be Edom now, God. I want to, if I'm on the road of Edom, I want to get off the road of Edom, God. I don't want to wait until you show up and I've riled you, God, and I've riled your spirit, God, and I've riled you, and you showed up and say, no, I've given you so much, and it has made you prideful, not impactful. Look what he says. You should not have looked down on your brother. This is God speaking to them. You should not have looked down on your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much about the day of their trouble. I didn't put you there so you can make fun of what's going on in your community. I didn't put you there so you can take advantage of what's going on in your world. That's not why I put you there. Verse 13 says, you should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor look down on them in the day in their calamity, in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. I didn't send you there. I didn't have you there so you can benefit from someone else's falling down. Am I making sense today? Verse 14 says, you should not wait at the crossroad to cut down their fugitives or cut down their refugees, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. Verse 15 says, the day of the Lord is near for all nations. See, that's where I think it drags it right back into my world. I think it's more than just Edom. The day of the Lord is near for all nations, as you have done. It will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head.
Come on now.
Impactful, not prideful. He's saying this, you brought harm, not help to this community. I placed you in this community and you are here for a reason. As I drove by this building on Monday to go do something, I heard, and I'm wrestling through Obadiah, and I heard the Lord say, the church is here for this community.
Amen.
This church is here for this community. God, help us not be an Edom. That we do not step where you want us to step. That you do not, we do not take advantage. That we do not miss an opportunity. That we do not march against what you want us to do. The church is here. This church, not just the church. I'm not talking about the church. Just so you know, I'm not talking about anybody else other than the people in this room and the people that have joined us online right now. I'm talking about us. I don't care what other churches are doing right now. I really don't care what the churches down the road are doing. Not at this very moment. I care about what we're doing. We're the ones that are in this community. We're the ones that God has planted here. We're the ones that God has given a unique set of skills to. We're the ones. It's this church. This community will thrive because this church is here. We know I can go anywhere from there. I can go Matthew 5, 13. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And I think I could go there as that's a reality that Jesus said that about us. You're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. I put you in dark places because dark places need light.
Amen.
I put you where it's not salty so you could preserve it and so you could add value to it and so you could war against the enemy at times. And I could go to Matthew 6, 10, and your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus says, hey, church, ask for this. Ask for God's kingdom to come on earth. Not just so I could go to his kingdom. Do you know that we have the right to ask for his kingdom to come on this earth? Yet no other entity in all of history other than the church has that right to ask for God's kingdom to come. I could go to Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And just so you know, this is Jesus talking about himself. And just so you know, in Matthew, he said, guess what? I'm handing that to you, church. Because the Spirit is going to come upon you. And you're going to preach the good news to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind and to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You know what that means? It's now! It's not something we wait for. It's in the here and the now. And I think I could go to any, you can call down the kingdom of heaven. You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world and you have been anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you and you have been anointed. We have been anointed, church. We have been anointed. I'm not going to those passages. Ephesians 4 says this. It is he, Jesus, and we talked about this Thursday night. Man, I don't think we're done with this. It is he who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers to do what? To prepare God's people for works of service. So what's happening here? God says, you're the light of the world and I don't feel like too light. And he said, I know, you're going to get equipped. You're the salt. I don't feel, I don't know, God. I know, but I'm going to send people around you that are going to equip you. Equip me for what? For works of service. You know what that is? You know what that works of service means in the Greek? It means this, to express divine energy. You're going to be equipped. I'm going to be equipped. We're going to be equipped to release divine energy into our world. And that's not, listen, don't get weird. I'm not getting weird here. The lights are not going to go down. The black lights are not going to come up. And there's not going to be weird music playing. Okay? There's nothing weird about it. There's everything heavenly about it. And it might be weird and unsettling to us right now. But he says, I want to do this for you. Why? Because I placed you in this community. And you can either be an Edom or you can be my servants. You can either take what I've given you and let it be prideful, or you can take what I'm giving you and let you make impact with that. I'm equipping you right today, he said. Do you want to be equipped today? Do you want to be equipped today to release divine energy, divine work into our community? Do we want to be, does that want to happen today? Do we want that to happen today? I'm going to shift in just a minute. I'm going to shift into the apostle role here. Okay? I'm going to put my apostle hat on this morning. You know what an apostle does? He's sent into one kingdom to change their mind to think about another kingdom. That's one of his roles. I am not here to teach you this morning. I'm not here to give you a prophetic word. I'm here to change our thinking toward kingdom thinking. That's why I'm here this morning. So I don't know if you've heard it from this point on. More, I don't know. My goal this morning, I'm letting you know up front. My goal this morning is to change our thinking into kingdom, capital K, kingdom thinking. So here we go. This community needs this church. If we don't think this community needs this church, then we need our thinking changed. This community needs this church. This church needs to be equipped. This community doesn't need a church that just meets here once in a while on a Sunday and maybe fills up the parking lot on a Wednesday night. They need an equipped church to release divine energy, to make a difference in the community. This community needs this church. This church needs to be equipped. And the equipping that we need comes from Christ. We're not gonna have enough pep rally. Without Jesus, we're not gonna do it. He's the one who's going to equip us. The equipping is practical, I think. I think we got a very practical God. And is there going to be moments when you walk on water? Absolutely. And there are going to be moments when you come alongside of somebody that's down and out and make a difference in their life with a simple box of groceries. You bet that's going to happen. God is a very practical God. This equipping is very practical. The equipping will change your life and the life of another, just so you know. I'm here to change our thinking toward kingdom thinking this morning. And listen, I've wrestled with this all week, and I want my thinking to become kingdom thinking, because sometimes I don't think it becomes kingdom thinking. I think about the small K kingdom way too much at times, and I need to think about the big K kingdom, even though I am involved in the small K kingdom. And God wants me to be involved in the small K kingdom, but I can't only think about the small K kingdom. I got to think about the big K kingdom. God did not leave us here to get washed away by the small K kingdom thinking. He put us here so he can release divine energy and divine power through us and big K thinking. He said, I'm going to equip you like you've never been equipped before. And that equipping is going to change your life. And that equipping is going to change someone else's life as well. Don't be an Edom. I've given you way too much for just you to let it build you up. I've given it so you can impact this community. The equipping will change your life and the life of another. This community needs this church to have the heart of God. And the heart of God comes in many different flavors. Are you with me this morning? Am I making sense this morning? Hang on, I only got about 2 more hours and we'll be out of here, okay? That's what I want to change our thinking to. Not new teaching. I'm not trying to teach. I'm not trying to give a prophetic word this morning. I am just endeavoring to change our thinking into capital K, kingdom thinking. And I believe with every ounce of who I am, that what I just gave you is the thinking that we need to adopt or to have in greater and greater and greater amounts. We need the heart of God in this community. And that equipping doesn't come separate from the heart of God. It comes with the heart of God, and the heart of God comes in many different flavors. So you want to know what I think this community needs? What? No. Do you know what I think that God says this community needs? What kind of hearts this community needs? I think this community needs a Stephen heart. And I think God wants to breathe a Stephen heart onto somebody today. And I think some of you have a Stephen heart, because Stephen, the proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, to do what? To take care of those that are less fortunate, to take care of the widows in his community. We need the Stephen heart. We need someone that said, that's me. I'm going to, God, open up my, I stand with my arms wide open, God. God, I know this community. Listen, New Lifers, this community needs someone with a Stephen heart. It needs a group of people that are led by someone with a Stephen heart at times. We need a Stephen heart. We need to care for those that no one else is caring for. And they could be someone who is down and out. They could be someone who is in the addiction. They could be someone who is going to stand in the face of addiction if we don't do it. We can't just be out here in this world thinking small K, oh, they chose their lifestyle. The hooey with that. Big K thinking says, I can heal them from that. We're so small. I just admit I'm so small-minded at times. We need Stephen hearts. This community needs Stephen hearts. Those that are full of the Spirit. It's not less of a calling in his life to be a Stephen, to be one who's taking care of the widows, to make sure the physical needs are met, to stand in the gap for those that are less fortunate. He was full of the Spirit. And just so you know, he was the first one that the enemy riled up the people to take out, too. He was the first martyr, right? And don't you find that interesting? That the guy who had the heart to take care of those less fortunate in his community was the first guy they stoned. That should tell us something about the power of a Stephen Hart. That the enemy does not want a Stephen Hart among us. The enemy wants us to roll up our windows and point our fingers and just say, that's the way it is, and they chose their life, and so forth and so on. The enemy says, that's what I need this church to do. God said, no, I've given you way too much for you to roll up your windows. I've given you way too much to turn your head the other way. You need to go for it. Because there are people who need a Stephen-hearted, driven people. God's heart comes in many different flavors. You know what else? Other heart I think God wants to give us this morning? I think he wants to give us a Bezalel heart. You ever heard of that guy before? Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri and son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skills and ability and knowledge of all kinds of craft to make artistic designs for works and work in gold and silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. And God says, I want to give that heart to someone here this morning. I don't want you only to build houses for a living and cabinets or whatever you're building. I want you to have this special anointing from me this morning. And as I was processing and praying for this, you know, I got this thought as I was driving through our community. Can you imagine with somebody with that heart, Bezalel's heart, that same heart. And I got this picture of building these prayer benches. Craftsmanship, fine work in prayer benches, and delivering them to the hospital, and delivering them to other organizations, and delivering them to businesses, and just praying and anointing over those benches, and just giving them to people all over, and knowing that someone who has been gifted by God, someone with a heart that makes a difference in our community, has crafted this thing. We have anointed this thing. We have prayed over this thing. And everyone who sits on that bench, I got this picture, that everyone who sits on that bench have felt the very presence of God, no matter where it was. Can you imagine a community full of those benches? God's heart comes in many different flavors. Acts 12 tells us, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Jumping down to verse 12, it says, When it dawned on him that he was on the outside of the jail, miraculously he was delivered from the incarceration, physically delivered. Angels showed up on his behalf and released him and walked him out through the gates. When he came to his mind, whoa, I'm outside the prison. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back and exclaimed, Peter is at the door! She didn't even let him in. Do you know what I think a Rhoda heart does? I think God wants to give us a Rhoda heart. Some here, I think God wants to fall on you with a Rhoda heart. You know what that means? That you're praying so big that even you're surprised when it happens. We don't pray near big enough. And Rhoda was saying, Rhoda was there. I know she was a servant girl, but she was in the midst of those people praying. And she heard the prayers and she was praying. Prayers so big that when they were answered, she couldn't hardly contain herself. Can you imagine if this community had a group of people with a Rhoda heart? That we were praying so big that when it happened, we were like, yeah, we've been praying for that. When it happened, like, whoa! How big are our prayers this morning? And I'm not asking necessarily for this heart to fall on everybody. God's heart comes in many different flavors. I think we need Stephen hearts, and we need a Bezalel heart, and we need a Rhoda hearts, and I think God wants to give us those hearts. Why? Because I think God's got us here. I know God's got us in this community for a reason. And it's not just a draw for this community or get cheap taxes or whatever. It's to make an impact on this community. It's not to fill up a room on a certain day of the week. So we get impact. I do not want to be Edom. I do not want to face the sovereign Lord my God saying this. I gave you so much, and you didn't do what I asked you to do. You're cutting yourself short, and in turn, you're cutting me short. And as your God, that ticks me off, and I get riled. Is it okay if God floods onto you with a road of heart? That you will begin to pray so big that it'll surprise even you when it happens. God's heart comes in many different flavors. In Judges, it says this, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty warrior." Skipping to verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in your strength and save Israel out of the Midianites' hands. Am I not sending you?" I think the heart of Gideon needs to fall on some in this room. Because I think God is raising up community leaders in this room. I think God is raising up elected officials and school board members. Am I a political guy? There's a zero chance. I vote every single time. I voted for Ronald Reagan the very first time I voted. You can throw apples at me, or I don't care. And I voted in every election since then. But I am not a political guy. I am a capital K kingdom guy. And God says, I put Gideon in the lead because he was a man of God. He didn't think he was. He was shy, and he was backwards, and he doubted himself. But I chose him to run for a community position. I chose him to run. And I chose him to be a school board member. I chose him to be a board member of a nonprofit or another organization. Is it okay if the heart of Gideon falls upon you this morning? Because God's going to change our community. And this community better be thriving because this church is here. And if you're thinking there this morning, I think that's me, then open up your heart and let God affirm it. If you're thinking, man, I hope that's not me, you better open up your heart and affirm it because that's probably you too. If you're thinking, I'm still stuck on the Rhoda thing, don't worry about the Gideon heart. There's Gideon hearts. Get the Rhoda heart. And you're here thinking, man, I don't know if I can just stay and pray with that kind of faith. Then let the Stephen heart or the Bezalel heart fall on you. Can you imagine what happens when the heart of God starts to rise up out of this body of believers? What's going to happen to this community? God's heart comes in many different flavors. Let me just share a couple more with you. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. You know what else he did? There was so much that he did. He come alongside. You know what the heart of Barnabas does? He comes along those that need to take the next step in life. And he's the encourager. And he's the one who gives them hope and comfort. And he's the one. I'm not talking about the down and out person. That's a Stephen heart. I'm talking about this one who will come alongside a young buck and say, "You can do it, man. I know your husband now. But let me breathe into you courage." Can you imagine a group of people with a heart of Barnabas that won't just wonder if Brian's going to make it as a husband, but say, "You know what? He's going to hear from me. I'm going to pray for him. He's going to make it." And not only is he going to make it, but man, hang on, McKenna. Because Barnabas is alongside your husband. Mordecai had a cousin, comes in many different flavors. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, who he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This girl, who was also known as Esther, was lovely in form and feature, and Mordecai had taken her into his as his own daughter when her father and mother died. Did you ever read that in Esther? Do you know what the Mordecai heart is? Breathe onto them, the Mordecai heart. Do you know if the heartbeat bill gets signed in Pennsylvania, do you know that that's going to put 17,000 more unwanted children in our communities? What are we going to do? Just so you know, I talked to some elected officials. They don't have a plan. I couldn't even imagine when I'm talking to them, what's your plan when this gets signed and all of a sudden there's 17,000 more children in our communities? They don't have a plan. I'm telling you what, this church better have a plan, because some of those kids are being in our community. Jones has received the Mordecai heart. And it's not only those who open up their homes to those kids that are going to need homes, not just a place to stay, homes they're going to need. But they're going to need somebody else to come alongside and say, I got a Mordecai heart. I don't think I'll adopt one child, but I'm going to do everything I can so these families can adopt children. See, I think it comes in many different flavors. Amen. And that's where it comes with a Gideon heart, because we need legislation to make it more affordable. I don't know if I'm stepping into the prophet or if I'm stepping back into the apostle role. I don't know. But I can see what God's doing. If you hear me, I can see what God's doing. And those broken moms and dads that gave up their children, guess who they're going to need? Stephen! Moms and dads are broken. Moms and dads are suffering. They need Stephen. And they need Mordecai. Can I share one more with you?
He's preaching.
I'll take that as a yes. I got one more. Then I said to them, Nehemiah 2:17, you see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruin, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in trouble. You know, I think the heart of Nehemiah is those ones that can circle our community and know where the enemy's got a foothold. And I know some of you already have that gifting and that heart. And as you drive through the community, God's going to give you, he's going to give you a awareness of where the portholes are, that the enemy's got a foothold in this community. And you're going to seal them up, because you got a Nehemiah heart. And the enemy's not going to have his way in our community like he has his way in our community right now. You know, people are stealing catalytic converters, breaking them open, grinding up the stuff, and using it as drugs. Do you know that's happening right here in this community? Somebody needs to do something. And God's got us here in the center of this community for a reason. And I know that God has given us enough stuff right here. God has given us enough stuff right here that he wants to pour out these hearts on us. How about you this morning? I'm almost done. Hang with me. God's not almost done. Push the button. How about a Stephen heart? A Bezalel heart? Can he give it to you this morning? You want to build those benches? I'm not talking whipping together something with a bunch of 3-inch screws that stick out the bottom. I'm talking about craftsmanship. Can he give you a heart of Rhoda that you're praying so big that you even surprise when it gets answered? Can he give you the heart of Gideon and saying, it's me, God, I've got that heart. I know I should do this and I should step into this community in the leadership role. of other Barnabases that will come alongside of. People that are getting it right. Just so you know, people that are getting it right need people alongside of them too. They need a Barnabas. How about you this morning? Are you okay with a Mordecai heart on either end of that? How about a Nehemiah heart? Can I ask for that to fall on you this morning? That when you drive through, back through, wherever you're driving through this afternoon and you say, whoa, I just noticed something. I didn't notice that at first. Do you know that there's signs of the occult hanging in people's yards and windows and stuff? You ever notice them? Nehemiah hearts, I think, will start to notice those. And you won't pray wickedness on those people because you don't defeat wickedness with wickedness. You defeat wickedness with the grace of God. How about it, new lifers? I'm here to change our heart, change our minds. I'm here to change our thinking into kingdom thinking. I knew God wanted me to put this in there and I didn't even remember it's in there, so now I know why. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can stand in our way? Just so you know, that's good stuff. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Those with Stephen hearts, intensify it. Those with Mordecai hearts and Bezalel hearts and Rhoda hearts and Barnabas hearts, intensify them. God, those with Nehemiah hearts, intensify them. God, with those the hearts of what you've placed on my heart this week, intensify our hearts. Lord, give new. I'm asking God, I'm asking that you would give new hearts to us. New hearts, God. Because there is no way I want to be in Edom. Spirit of the living God, thank you. Thank you for your hearts for us. Thank you for your heart for us. God, I know your heart comes in many different flavors. Breathe unto us. Stand with me today. I'm just really hearing this morning that some are wide open, some are hesitant this morning. And I don't know if it's you watching online or if it's in this room. But Lord, help us just to see you clearly and not be hesitant to anything you're calling us to do. For any heart you want to pour out on us today. Anything that you want to pour out on us. We know that it comes from a loving, holy, gracious, powerful, life-changing God that's saying, I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. Come rest on us. Spirit of the living God, come rest on us. Saturate us, God, this morning. Father, we love you, and that's because you first loved us. So thank you for that. May the shining from this room dim as we walk away from it, and that light go with each one of us, and we would make a perimeter around this community. Each one in their homes, this light shooting up. We claim this territory for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.